Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yesterday on our segment Posted and Toasted, where we read the old tweets of fellow FAN coworkers, I read a few tweets from Brandon Tierney in which he made fun of Boomer's wardrobe. And so I was thinking about it yesterday, and it popped into my head very briefly that he may have meant Chris Berman and not Boomer Esiason. But then I let it go because, like, who cares?
Right.
Then this morning, of course, someone called up Boomer and tattletaled on BT's tweet from 14 years ago that we used in our segment to say, hey, Boomer, how about BT making fun of your wardrobe? And Boomer handled it with class, like, oh, whatever, he's never said that to my face, whatever. And then I thought about it again today when I saw Brandon, because Brandon looks at me, he's like, look at you starting trouble. And I said, BT, I got to be honest with you, it started to hit me. I think you may have been talking about Chris Berman.
Come on, dude.
And I just did some research on the timestamp of BT's tweets from 2011. They were tweeted out on Monday nights. There's no way he's tweeting about Boomer Esiason on a Monday night. So I have confirmed that he was actually tweeting about Chris Berman. I rip BT for this. Here's my criticism of Brandon. While I've exonerated him.
He didn't even realize it.
A, I don't think he realized it. But B, who the hell calls Chris Berman Boomer?
Can I give him a second?
A lot of people did. Back in the day, they definitely did.
I'm dead serious when I say this because something else jogged my memory.
Yes.
In 2011, David Wells became host of the Cheap Seats Monday nights on Fox Sports.
So it may have been David Wells.
What? He is also nicknamed Boomer.
Wow. So here's what I know.
It's 2011, that tweet, right?
These tweets are from Monday nights in 2011, which doesn't correspond with Boomer being on TV. So I caused a lot of haywire over nothing because he clearly didn't say that about Boomer Esiason. Probably Chris Berman, but it very well could be David Wells.
I'm helping BT out here. I'm giving it. He's got outs.
No, I think the timestamp, now that I thought about it and looked at it, it doesn't check out that it was Esiason. So there you go. Who cares? I just wanted to point that out.
I did go back, though. Boomer Esiason's suits were atrocious in 2011. So I'm just kidding.
Anyhow, here's your Cinco.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. All right, the Yankees in the midst of a terrible streak, so what are five Yankee streaks that have annoyed me the most?
All right.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
I take you back to when our show first launched in August 2023, the Yankee nine-game losing streak. They went from four games over 500 to five games under 500, effectively ending any playoff dreams, and we did see no October baseball in 2023 as a result, and we lived it here on the air.
We certainly did, and if memory serves correct, Judge was healthy for that.
That was when he'd come back, you thought they were going to rally.
Because a lot of the abbreviated excuses for 2023 is, well, Aaron Judge got hurt, it derailed the season. Well, there's some truth to that. They also struggled while Judge was there, including the streak you just talked about.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
The Yankees World Series drought between 2001 and 2008. Obviously, they won in 2009. Now, why did that streak annoy me? Jason Giambi's entire Yankee career took place in that streak, and his greatness as a Yankee will never be appreciated because he was in the middle of the two bookended World Series.
He's not the only one.
Mike Mussina.
Mike Mussina. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's really, again, dawned on me. I was watching a Game 7 doc on 2003. He hits the two home runs versus the Red Sox in Game 7. We'll never remember that.
You are correct about that. Mike Mussina and Jason Giambi were two mega free agent signings in Yankee history that will never get the credit that maybe it deserves because it never involved a championship.
That's it. Mm-hmm. All right, here we go.
Number three.
The Yankees' still ongoing run since 2020 of being 10 and at times or more games under 500 on the road in extra innings. They can't figure, and they obviously suck at home, but on the road is worse. They can't figure out the ghost runner, and the streak of being that bad cannot be fixed.
It's incredibly frustrating. I think it's a sign of their lack of fundamentals, but it also, there is some good news attached to it. They don't use that rule in the playoffs.
I know.
So it's much like a hockey team struggling in the shootout. That'll kill you over the 82, but once the real season starts, non-factor.
And I understand it's not really a streak, but sort of. I'm stretching the rules. Here we go.
Number two.
This current Yankee three-game shutout streak, if you missed this stat, I gave it to you an hour ago. In the history of the World Series, only the 1913 Philadelphia A's won a championship while in that same regular season being shut out in three straight games.
Chief Bender was on that team.
Yeah, well, I have no witty joke back to that.
That's the second time the late Chief Bender got a reference on WFAN this week. Hall of Famer, too. Hmm.
All right. Well, we have Chief Airbender now. So hopefully he writes.
Ah, here you go.
I got it back.
Chief Airbender?
Number one.
Devin Williams.
Oh, Airbender.
Oh. All right. The number one streak that annoys me the most, 32 consecutive winning seasons. Why? Why, Sean, does that annoy you the most? Hmm. It's given Brian Cashman complete immunity to just gas up that yacht and put a winning team together and not go on.
It is a really impressive streak, though. I mean, I know it doesn't mean anything over the last few years. It doesn't do you anything. But I think at some point in history, the Yankees are going to finish under 500. They're going to go through a negative point in their history. And I think you'll look back at that streak and say, wow, that was really incredible.
It's definitely underappreciated. I do appreciate it. However, yeah, when you're that good for that long, sometimes it's worthy enough and, you know, stops you from shaking things up.
There you go. Back to Sean. Right now, the Yankees are on an incredible streak. They have gone 29 innings without scoring a run. In those 29 innings, they have 17 hits and 8 walks. So they are averaging less than a base runner per inning.
Wow.
They are 1 for 26 with runners in scoring position over this 29-inning streak. And over this 29-inning streak, they have been shut down by Brian Bello, Brennan Bernardino, Garrett Whitlock, Jose Soriano, Reed Detmers, Kenley Jansen, Ryan Zephyr Hahn, Brock Burke, Hunter Strickland, Kyle Hendricks, Reed Detmers, and Hunter Strickland again. Mm. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, sounds like some Hall of Famers there.
Yeah, you got some superstars in there.
No, not really.
That's what makes this streak so wild. Now, the Mets are also on a losing streak. They've lost 4 in a row, and a guy who took a lot of the heat for yesterday's loss was Francisco Alvarez, who continues to struggle at the plate and had some defensive miscues. Really a mistake in the 10th inning that was doubled. First, he tried to make a backhand play on a ball in the dirt. Then when the ball bounced away from him and the runner was caught off second base, Luke Williams, he threw to second base, in which Luke Williams very quickly said, I'm just going to go to third base. Right. Francisco Alvarez has not had a great year, and he is not, I repeat, not in the starting lineup tonight. The Mets will throw out Lindor, Marte, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, Torrens, Tyrone Taylor, Jeff McNeil, and Ronnie Mauricio at third base. And here's where I'm at with the catching situation for the Mets. Number one, I would not send Francisco Alvarez down to the minor leagues. This is something I've talked about on the Rico for a few weeks. Gary Cohn brought it up on a broadcast recently. Mm-hmm. I'm against it. I wouldn't send him down.
Right.
But what I would do is his playing time should be diminished. Luis Torrens right now deserves to be the most of the time starting catcher.
What's the most egregious thing? The throwing error to second base, which allowed a runner to get in a scoring position?
In terms of why I want Torrens to play more, he's better right now. Simple.
But as a hitter?
Everything. As a catcher. Everything. He's been a really clutch hitter this season. His overall numbers don't jump out at you, Luis Torrens, but they're pretty much the same as Alvarez. But he's been a very good clutch hitter. He has been one of the best pitch framers in all of baseball, better than Alvarez. Right. He throws guys out at second base better than anybody in baseball. And not that Alvarez has done a bad job at that. Alvarez has actually been really good at throwing out base runners. Torrens has been better. So to me, it just comes down to something pretty simple.
Right, earn it.
He's earned it. He's just a better player right now. And the way I would do it is I would play Luis Torrens maybe 60% of the time. That doesn't mean I'm burying Francisco Alvarez, because the same reason why the Mets are still intoxicated by him is the same reason why I still don't want to bury him. He's got a lot of potential.
Right. He's still got tons of upside. It's only third year, right? So, or really two, but you know what I mean? Because that 1 year in 22, he came up briefly. But
23, 24, now 25. So it is his third year.
Yeah, it is his third year. You're right. So
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
There's still so much for him to grow into. And I feel like, what was it the Mets chat was talking about with Chavez talking about his hitting and all this other
nonsense. Oh, he's quoting the Mets text chat.
No, it's just, I mean, it was a quote. I mean, so it is what it is.
Yes.
But the approach that he had in his first year when he was hitting all the home runs, and you got to get away from that, just focus on contact. Technically, he's right. But you see that message, it's changed him as a hitter. And he's just not as, I don't know, clutch as he was. He felt like that first year, his rookie season, when he kind of burst on the scene and not only was good with the bat, but he was good behind the dish, especially catching those veterans, Max Scherzer and Verlander, right? So something has gotten lost in the year and a half since.
I do think, okay, so offensively he's gone backwards. There's no disputing that.
Right.
And what Eric Chavez said to him was after his rookie season, when he hit the 25 home run.
That was 23.
Basically, Chavez said, hey, do you think that was good? I don't think it is. You should worry about hitting the ball, making contact. The home runs will come, blah, blah, blah. And he's obviously regressed as an offensive player.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. I don't think he's a bad defensive player at all.
I don't think he is either.
The problem is Luis Torrens is better. Mm. The guy who's sharing the duties with him throws out base runners better than anybody in baseball, and he's the best pitch framer in baseball. So while Alvarez is actually halfway decent, not at the pitch framing part, but at the throwing base runners out part or blocking balls in the dirt part,
mm-hmm.
he's not Torrens. And if Alvarez isn't going to hit at a high clip, he's not worth playing.
Right.
And it's simply not a knock on him more than it is Luis Torrens is earning the right to play more. That's the way I view it right now. It's why I don't really want to send him down. That's been brought up now for a few weeks from some Met fans. I wouldn't do that.
No.
I think he can learn at the major league level.
Right. There's no, it wouldn't serve the purpose.
I don't think it would. Like, so playing every day in the minor leagues, like in theory, oh, it'd benefit him. He's going to learn. I think he's going to learn a lot watching Luis Torrens.
Mm-hmm.
It could be similar to the Jackson Dart situation. I always bring things back to the Giants.
You do, Evan.
I know. What's wrong with you?
But can't you learn from watching?
Of course. You absolutely learn from watching and desiring to be in that position where someone else is watching you. And so I think it does benefit him. And sending him down, though, while he'll play a ton, I think he's too good to be down there. And so why put him down there to the detriment of your team ultimately? So I don't think it makes any sense.
No, what makes sense is playing Terrence more. Right. And at least tonight in Atlanta, Luis Terrence is playing more. Now, I want to give you this stat before we get back to your call. Someone begged me for this, emailing the Rico. They're like, Evan, Terrence, Alvarez, do you have the catcher's ERA? Like, what is the ERA of the pitchers when each guy is catching? Before I give you the number, I'm going to ask you, do you take any stock in this?
No.
Zero.
No, some.
Some.
But not much.
Not much, but some. Tommy, do you put any stock in the ERA of when Alvarez catches versus when Terrence catches?
I absolutely do.
Okay. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
When Francisco Alvarez is catching them at pitching staff, 3.50 ERA. When Terrence does, 2.51 ERA. Mm. There is a one-run difference. Mm. That's significant.
Equally the same amount of innings per pitcher?
Great question. They're separated by 10 innings. Overall, I can't.
No, I'm talking about the pitcher.
I'd have to break that down even further. Well, I can't answer that.
It doesn't make any sense.
Really?
Yeah, because how do you know that I don't know, that Francisco Alvarez has tons of some subpar pitcher?
I'm going to guess, and I'll look closer at this, not today because I need some time on this. I'm going to guess it's going to pretty much come out to be pretty average. Okay. If they've each caught almost the same amount of innings, I haven't noticed any deep pattern on one guy catching certain pitchers. But I also, you gotta take a deep breath with this. Because I know this leads to those that are listening.
Nothing. The pitcher still has to execute.
Well, no, but here's the problem with that. Last night, Francisco Alvarez, and this is what I find so fascinating about last night. So you may know the headline that Alvarez changed what Reed Garrett was going to throw to Marcelo Ozuna.
Yes,
That's the headline, right?
They were having issues. Reed Garrett wanted to throw a fastball.
Right, and Francisco Alvarez changed it. Here's what I find so fascinating from this. Alvarez brought it up on his own in the press conference. Mm-hmm. So he's being interviewed, and Francisco is being asked questions,
right,
which are translated to him, and then sometimes Francisco will just answer it in English,
right,
and sometimes he'll do it in Spanish. He answered in English, I changed the pitch.
Right.
And he gave his reason why. And what I thought was so fascinating by it was he made it a story by bringing it up himself. Nobody asked him,
right,
hey, did you change the pitch?
But he was kind of right.
To go from splitter to fastball? I think that's what he did because Marcelo Ozuna barely made contact.
No. It wasn't a slider. What did he end up throwing? I forget what he was, but
I think he threw a fastball that just kind of get in enough.
I think he wanted to throw the fastball, but he ended up throwing the slider, and it was in. But he got his hands clear, and he drove it down the left field. And the reason Francisco Alvarez did that was because Marcelo Ozuna, with the bases loaded, expecting a fastball, is going to hit a home run.
Yeah.
I forget the stat. I heard it this morning. 9 of his 11 home runs on fastballs?
Right.
So you got the bases loaded. You got to throw a strike.
Why the hell
are you throwing a fastball?
He wanted to throw a fastball. He threw a splitter.
Which was
the same pitch he threw one pitch earlier that Ozuna barely made contact on.
Yes.
This one didn't get down. It was in.
Right.
And Ozuna turned on it.
Right. So everyone will blame Francisco Alvarez, but is that not pitcher execution?
Oh, it's definitely pitcher execution, but what's crazy is Alvarez made it a story by bringing it up on his own.
Good for him.
And I don't think people recognize that. It was why did Alvarez change the call? I'm like, this kid on his own brought it up.
Accountability. That thing hung over the plate and Ozuna turned on it.
Yes. And he said he felt terrible about it.
Right.
I don't want to bury the kid. I just think Luis Terrence, over a period of time now, over this season, has earned, and it's not the catcher's ERA, it's his overall defense, and it's his clutch inning.
Right.
He's just earned the opportunity to play more. So he's going to play today against Chris Sale. We'll see how that continues over the next few days. Duke is calling from Edison. What's up, Duke?
Hey, Duke.
Hey, Evan and Tiki. I love your show. I'm a diehard Mets fan. Watching the game last night, when Mendoza took out Peterson, everything changed. You think if they would have kept him in, you think the Mets might have would have won that game?
I think it was the opposite. David Peterson threw a hell of a game, and he put the first two guys on base in the eighth inning. Are you really going to push him fourth time around the batting order?
Yeah,
you to now continue?
You can't do that.
If anything,
they made the right decision. It just maybe was a batter too late.
Yeah, the one batter too late argument I understand because when you walk the ninth place hitter who's hitting 215 mm-hmm. with a 3-run lead in front of Ronald right. Acuna.
In his defense, he had him 2-2 and he threw what looked like a strike for ball for which ball three ultimately. It looked like a strike, but he didn't get it and he missed on four.
Ultimately, with a 3-run lead in the eighth inning against the ninth place hitter with Ronald Acuna Jr. on deck, you can't walk him.
I agree 100%.
Can't happen.
But it looked like he threw a strike, but whatever.
And that was the moment where if you Mendy, you could pull him. Mm-hmm. I wasn't against pushing him a little bit to face Acuna, but once he gives up the base hit to Acuna, he's got to come out.
The problem was he wasn't out of control. Like if he was out of control, like he walked him on four pinches immediately, get him out. But he was 2-2.
And he's also shown an ability to go deep in games.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, he went into the eighth inning against the Dodgers, and obviously in his last start, he went nine.
Yeah.
We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Your Yankee and Met calls next. For a while now, I guess it's been a few months, we ask Sal Licata every day if the NL East is over. I was actually nervous to ask him today because obviously the Mets suffered an absolutely brutal loss to the Atlanta Braves. Painful for all of us as Met fans, but very painful for him as someone that despises the Atlanta Braves on an even higher level. So I went over to Sal, I did my due diligence, I asked him the question, and I wasn't sure what I was going to get in this daily installment of, hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over?
Hey, Sal, is the NL East over?
Get the f***ing phone out of my face.
How about that?
That's great.
How about that? Like a no.
Is that how you take it?
Get out!
That's fair.
Did you expect that, response from Sal today?
I did not.
Now, if you think Sal was giving me crap for simply asking him if the NL East is over, that's not the only person he's mad at. He's mad at a certain Positive Tommy. Mm. Because Positive Tommy has continued the no biggie shtick.
No biggie.
Which he whipped out last night, of course, after the Mets lost to the Braves. I even responded. Did you see my response, Tommy?
I sure did. I saw your response. I saw our buddy Frank the Tank respond. So there were a couple responses.
What was Frank the Tank's response?
The season's over. You can't do this. We're going to lose 40 in a row. So he wasn't happy with me.
My response was very calm. I said, how many no biggies in a row before it's a biggie?
Mm-hmm.
Because
no biggie.
Tommy's had a lot of no biggies in the last week. So how many no biggies before it's a biggie? That was my question. But your no biggie didn't just annoy me. It didn't just annoy Frank the Tank. It annoyed Sal Licata.
Knicks blow an epic loss in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. No biggie.
Yeah.
Mets lost last night. No biggie. I mean, dude, enough.
The boundaries of Positive Tommy are a little bit too spread out at this point.
Wow. Yeah. What do you think of that, Tommy?
I'm not sure what BT meant by that, so with the clarification on that.
You want clarification on that?
Yeah, I don't know what he meant by that, but that's all. As far as the Sal angle on that, it is game one of the Eastern Conference Finals at the time was a no biggie. Had the Knicks won game two, you would have said, all right, Tommy was right. Game one was a no biggie. Just like if the Mets win 10-0 tonight, last night was, in fact, a no biggie. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're looking at tiebreakers here with the Braves. If it ends up being that, then it could end up being a biggie. I am open to biggie analysis after the fact of a no biggie, where it was a no biggie that gets turned into a biggie. It blossoms into a biggie butterfly, so to speak. But I believe at the time, my no biggies mean something, and I mean what I say when it's no biggie. Right. And at the time, they were no biggies.
That's juicy, man.
That was
makes
very
sense,
juicy.
Right? I thought that made sense.
I just want Wendy's after hearing that.
If the Mets lose tonight, which would make it a 5-game losing streak, back-to-back losses to Atlanta, no biggie?
No biggie.
If the Mets lose tomorrow and get swept by Atlanta, and it's a 6-game losing streak, no biggie?
No biggie.
If the Mets then also get swept by Philly, and this is actually a 9-game losing streak, is that a no biggie?
I will say this. I would have to...
That has to be a biggie, Tommy.
Yeah, I wouldn't say biggie, but I would consider, not retiring, but maybe putting the no biggie in the shelf for just a little bit. Because it loses a little bit of its biggie, you know, bluster when you do that.
Mm.
So
it has
no
effect.
Has no effect.
Yeah.
Because then it's just like no biggie, no biggie, no biggie. It feels like you're saying no biggie when it is a biggie. But when I do say no biggie, I mean it's no biggie. It's not a biggie. So it feels like a biggie. I won't say no biggie.
Yeah,
make sense?
People think you're a Tupac fan.
Right. No. Exactly.
You guys missed the juicy thing, too, but that's all right.
Yeah, I'm just hypnotized by all
yeah.
And I was confused by BT. I'm sure people are confused by me, but it shouldn't be confusing. In reality is it's no biggie. It's just a four-game losing streak. It's not a big deal. It's no biggie. Stop with the Atlanta, because you're like this, Frank's like this, Sal's like this. You get too wrapped up in Atlanta, the Atlanta aspect of that. If that was against the Pirates last night, would you have reacted the same way? Would you have done an emergency Rico?
I would have done an emergency Rico, yes. I would be annoyed, but it gets put up a notch against Atlanta.
No biggie.
No question about it. The Brave thing is real. The Brave thing exists. Like, I don't know when I'll be over it. Maybe they have to annihilate them. I don't know what it is, because obviously Game 161 was awesome last year, and it was a great victory, and it got the mess of the playoffs, and it was amazing. But it clearly hasn't done enough, at least in my mind and many Met fans' minds, to completely exercise the demons.
Outside of the Ronald Acuna catch, what was pro-Brave about that win? It was more of what the Mets didn't do than what the Braves did.
Well, why does that even matter? Like, Kenny Rogers walked Andrew Jones. Like, it's the
same thing.
Because
there were a lot of the demons and a lot of the stuff that we went through as Met fans with the Braves, it was what the Braves did. The Braves are not good.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Just repeat after me, Evan. The Braves are a bad baseball team.
Well, but before I even do that, like, I don't agree that a lot of the demons of the past was all Atlanta doing stuff that was amazing.
Or they were capitalizing on stuff. But
no, but a lot of it was Met meltdowns. A lot of it I put on the Mets. And it really doesn't matter how you lose.
Right.
It's just if you lose.
It's just the fact that you did.
Yeah. I mean, their record in Atlanta since 1998 is 90-140. Like, I'm not even making that up. They are 50 games under 500 in Atlanta, really, since this rivalry became a thing. Because Mets-Braves is a relatively new rivalry. They didn't become division opponents until 1994. Mm-hmm. And then for a few years, the Mets were terrible. So they really didn't become rivals until 1998. Anyhow, there is one big positive that's been going on. Not our baseball teams, but the Yankees do this great job every year. They call it Hope Week, which is awesome. And joining us right now, guy's been with the Yankees for a long, long time, Yankees PR Vice President, Communications and Media Relations, Jason Zillow, who's helped put this thing together, which is tremendous. Jason, thank you very much for coming on, man. How are you?
Fellas, I'm good. How about yourselves? I know you were hoping to get a hitting coach on today, but you're stuck with me.
Yeah,
sorry, guys.
It's all right. All good. Tell
Ryan
us.
Ryan and Tommy failed you.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point.
Well, Tommy's not saying no biggie for the Yankees. He's only saying it for the Mets.
That's right. Tell us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Tell us about Hope Week. It's been around for a while, but what kind of led to it, and what exactly do you guys do?
Yeah, it's 16 years old now, and you know, we like to think of it as an ambitious week-long initiative where we kind of pause what we're doing a little bit here, the grind of everything, and find five inspiring people and stories, and really, you know, use the coverage that we get from the beginning of spring training until the end of hopefully October, beginning of November, and kind of pivot that spotlight onto some people who not a lot of people here know about, and kind of share their story with the world.
Yeah, and Jason, where will we see that, or where can Yankee fans, or really just fans of hope and humanity, find that?
I mean, look, we kind of flood our social media channels with it. The Yes Network is a great partner. WFAN is a great partner. You know, the Today Show, we've been doing it for 16 years now with the Today Show, and it's the idea is that really these are some compelling stories, some inspiring people that, you know, it's just like, man, I turn on the 11 o'clock news sometimes, or New York One, and I know it's kind of cliched, but man, sometimes the stuff is just so heavy and unsettling. And it's like, we want 3 or 4 minutes to talk about some really good stuff that makes you feel good, to be honest with you.
No, and it makes a lot of sense, because you're right, especially with going on in the world today.
No doubt.
The conversations my wife and I have every night about whatever is happening, both domestically and internationally, you need something to feel good about, because a lot of that is happening in the world.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're all citizens of humanity, first and foremost. And, like, you know, if you're in a position to do some good, and I mean, it's nice here. We have this giant engine, and it's like, why not? Like, when I leave here, whenever that is, it's like, I'm going to remember a lot of baseball games, but honestly, like, I'm going to remember, like, seeing smiles on these people's faces. Like, for us to, like, when they see an Aaron Judge or a Giancarlo Stanton or a Brett Gardner, I mean, this goes back so far. Like, when you see the looks on these honorees' faces, it's like, we hear you. Like, right. The New York Yankees right. see you, and we hear you, and you're not alone. And we, this is our way of, like, embracing you.
One of the stories that's so cool I'd love to hear more about is these kids, Carmine and Vincent, who are going to be a part of the Yes Network broadcast tomorrow. They're going to be awesome. Doing PA announcing. Tell us more about their story and what they're going to get to do here during Hope Week.
Yeah, well, the younger brother, by the way, they call him Vinny Two Cents. He has something to say about everything. I mean, and by the way, he's going to be on the radio broadcast as well.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Great,
right here.
Which would be really cool. They're from Brooklyn, and you know, they're dealing with muscular dystrophy, and they've had to give up athletics, and they're kind of pivoting towards potentially being broadcasters. And I mean, what better way to come here and do some PA announcing in the first inning, throw them into the booths on the radio and TV side, and they're going to get a private tour of the clubhouse with some of our big name players tomorrow. So it's like, you know, it's a day. You know, hopefully they walk away from it, and they feel good about themselves, right? I mean,
it's funny because it ultimately kids like that want that job. You never know. Right? it's like your dream job, and you never know when experiencing something like that at an early age puts you on that path. I mean, it's actually a great opportunity outside of the fact that it's a great story.
And today we had some karaoke across the street at the Dugout Club here, and we had Cashman and Boone and a bunch of our players, and we
sing?
Highlighted
up. Jason, who can sing?
Very, very few, honestly, and I know he's kind of my boss. Right. Cashman didn't sound bad.
I'd love to hear that. That's
now,
awesome.
You know, it's funny, too, guys, and you'll get a kick out of this.
Crooner. There's always a surprise crooner.
He lived.
Sorry, go ahead. We had to dump the BS, unfortunately. Sorry, Jason.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all right. He had to ad lib into a Billy Joel song. He you know, off the cuff, he mentioned that that we needed to score some runs tonight. He was singing that to the song of the Billy Joel.
That is awesome. Well, very cool stuff. Hope Week has been awesome. It's amazing. It's been 16 years, man. Time really, really flies. It's one of the awesome things that you guys do.
Fantastic initiative.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
You guys.
Enjoy your night.
Yeah, absolutely. Jason Zillow has been with the Yankees for a million years, had a PR. And Hope Week, you've probably heard about it on the TV broadcast. You're going to hear those kids on the radio broadcast tomorrow. It is awesome stuff, and it's for an absolute great cause. Let's go to Lorenzo, our buddy Lorenzo in Keyport. What's up, Lorenzo?
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sorry about that. What's up, Lorenzo?
Hey, Evan.
Hey, what's up, man?
Three quick points. Evan, Marte can't be on the bench last night for that pinch hit.
Say that one more time.
He was on the bench for the pinch hit.
Marte cannot be on the bench.
Oh, absolutely. Of all the things that Mendy did last night, one that bothered me was letting Jared Young hit with a runner on second and nobody out. And Starling Marte has been better recently. I trust him to at least hit the ball and advance the runner. Mm-hmm. I thought that was his biggest egregious mistake. So I agree with you about that.
And he usually doesn't follow the book, so I'm surprised. But for Alvarez, I put him on the bench 4 times a week and just let him stew in it because with Soto, everybody was worried about all his histrionics. Alvarez at the bench looks like the Tasmanian devil. Like, he's trying to hit a 7-run home run every time, and he cannot stay away from the high inside pitch. But that said, I'm very disappointed you're not coming to the bar with me for the NBA draft. I think you did it on purpose and were just appeasing me by saying maybe, and here we are.
No, I was not just appeasing you. Lorenzo, I had here are my options for the NBA draft. I'm going to walk you through it. You ready for this, Lorenzo?
Yeah.
I was actually offered.
Let me report.
Okay, I was offered an opportunity to go to the NBA draft.
Oh, wow.
And be a part of a very cool NBA experience, which I thought about. Then I was offered Lorenzo's offer, Kendrick's offer. Let's all go to a bar, which I thought about as well. Like, I'd rather be around my fellow Brooklyn Net fan as we make some of the most important decisions of our lifetime. And then I thought about, do I just want to be home? Where I can watch it on one TV, have the Mets on another TV, have the air conditioning blasting because it's going to be 110 degrees outside,
right.
Have my dog on my lap. I love you, Lorenzo, and I love going to Barclays Center, which I do a lot during the season. I ultimately made the decision to be home.
Okay, well, you know what? I have a perfect answer that solves all of those problems.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yes.
We go to Tiki's.
You know what? I think I may accept
that. Everything is there.
Hey, come on.
I think I may accept that now.
That works. I'm always willing to host. I got a proper bar in my basement, too.
If you've got, think about what Tiki could provide. Multiple TVs, which I'm sure you have.
Multiple. They're all over.
So we got the Met game going.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Yankee game going.
Mm-hmm.
We got the draft going.
That would have to be in the movie room.
The movie. Sean, would you be up for that?
To go to Tiki Barber's movie room to watch all three? Yes.
It's just a couch. It's not like a... It's not like a big movie theater. It's just like a big couch and a big, humongous TV.
Don't ruin the imagination. Right.
In the bar, there's like a TV on the wall, and then there's a little sitting room on the other side with another TV. So there's three TVs down.
The answer is not would I go. The answer is what can I bring to you?
I was thinking of throwing you in the mix too, though, because you've got the outdoor bar area with the pool. And if it's going to be 100 degrees outside, that's a pretty good option as well.
The only downfall for you guys is it's on Long Island. Other than that, you're always welcome.
But why would that matter to me? I live in Westchester. I mean, picking between Long Island and where Tiki lives in Jersey is like picking between two foreign countries to go to.
Just go through the islands. Staten Island.
Yeah, it's true. Although, you guys are always walking. Great set. If it's hot, you want to buoy up, beers along the rim of the pool, and the TVs are perfectly eye-lined. I set it up.
First of all.
How many?
I have two, and I portable out two more on certain occasions for football.
Not bad. You can't say we're always welcome. I have never once been invited to your house. Not one time.
Evan, would you like to come over next Wednesday night for two baseball games in the draft?
Here's the problem now. I invited myself. So it doesn't feel like it's a true invite. I have to wait. We have to scrap this one. And at some other point randomly, then it's an invite. Because right now it's not an invite. It's just me asking to come over your house, which I really don't want to do.
If it's next Wednesday and you're that close to city, we might as well spend the night because we're doing our show from the ballpark.
Good point.
The next day.
That's true.
Get to Citi Field in a half hour. Good.
So I don't understand. Where are we going then?
We're spending the night at Sean's house next Wednesday night.
So take sleepover.
Gotcha. So we'll go to your house, sleeping over, waking up, and then going to Citi Field for a show we're doing.
Absolutely.
Oh, hell no, we're not.
Absolutely not. Hope you like Cinnamon Toast Crunch with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old in the morning because that's what we're doing.
I don't mind that.
I love kids, man. I have six.
I still have to say no because it feels like we're forcing our way over there.
I got two more. I'm just going to tell you so you can't use this insult anymore. I've already pinpointed July 5th, Yankees-Mets. I'm planning on having people over.
over for that?
I'm going to be in Europe, so you're 0-1.
And, of course, as Tommy knows, I do an annual Labor Day Saturday opening of college football, watch the baseball. Everybody would celebrate the end of summer and the start of football party.
I'm 0-2, celebrating my anniversary that weekend.
Well, yep, I don't know what to tell
you. I'm in Greece.
All right. Well, I've invited you. So.
No, but here's the problem with those invites. They don't feel like real invites because you already knew July 5th I was out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a real invite.
Evan, you knew Labor Day I was out of the country.
Yes!
Evan.
You purposely pick dates in which you know we're not available.
September and October, every single one of those Sundays, we watch football outside.
You know I work on Sundays.
Okay, so Tiki's out. Evan, you're welcome any Sunday. You pick the Sunday because we'll be there.
Do you think that's a real invite, him just whipping out every Sunday and saying, come whenever you want to come?
No, because that's giving you the option because it's not a big deal to come on a football Sunday.
That's actually more of an invite.
Okay.
It feels like an open invite.
I accept.
Okay, you look at the schedule, say, this is the date I want to come, bam, we're in.
Well, we're going to treat it like the money in the bank briefcase. I'm just going to cash in whenever I feel like.
That's fine. And I say that sincerely. Anybody knows a bit of math, that is fine.
Thank you very much.
Yes. By the way, thank you, SNY, for joining us, as always. Baseball Night in New York is next. Coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Two stories in sports that, one of which I'm not surprised about, the other one I'm very surprised about. The Los Angeles Lakers.
Not surprised?
I am surprised. Were the Lakers for sale?
No, but if someone is going to offer you, and by the way, this is the same dude that does the Guggenheim with the Dodgers.
Yeah, the Lakers are being sold by the Buss family.
Right, for $10 billion.
Mark Walter is entering agreement to purchase a majority ownership of the Lakers from the Buss family for a valuation of approximately $10 billion, the largest sale of a professional sports franchise in the world,
right,
according to Shams Charania.
I don't think they're not buying the whole thing. They're buying a majority stake. But because of the valuation of their majority purchase, it makes the franchise worth $10
billion. Gotcha.
And what I don't know is he had already owned 20% of the Lakers. So how much more gets him the majority of stake?
So let's just say 31%. So 31%. Right. And again, we don't know what that number is. It's probably not anywhere close to $10 billion. It's whatever makes the value of everybody else's shares go to $10 billion.
Now, obviously, you guys are aware of the conspiracy theory that's emerged in the last hour.
What is that? No, I didn't know there was a conspiracy theory.
The Magic Johnson conspiracy theory?
No, that the NBA was well aware this was in the works, and the only way they could get this deal to go through is if they promised Luka Doncic would be there in L.A. so he had his next star to sell to the world.
That's the conspiracy?
By the way, I believe that. That didn't even sound like a conspiracy theory. That sounds like good NBA business, period.
Yeah, make the Lakers sell for that.
Right.
Guggenheim wants this.
Look, basketball moving its biggest stars to big markets is not new. The only reason Julius Erving played for the New York Nets is because they wanted him off the Virginia Squires, and they made sure he came to New York at the time. Do I believe they're doing that now in 2025? Yeah, kind of do. Think about it. They have a great NBA Finals. They truly do. They have two small market teams that were built organically, competing for a championship. One franchise has never won an NBA Finals in the city they're playing in. The other one's never won a championship, period, in the NBA. They're playing in an NBA Finals. It's the definition of league parity, right?
Right.
And the TV ratings suck. So the league knows, while, sure, parity's nice, they want the LA Lakers and the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics to be successful. They want them to be successful because they get better ratings out of it.
I agree with you.
And the same goes, I would think, in the NHL. Their TV ratings sucked for the Stanley Cup Finals as well. The Calgary Flames. Was it the Calgary Flames? No, it was the Edmonton Oilers.
Come on, man.
Why did you put your thumb up, Tommy?
Because they are the Calgary Flames.
They're the Edmonton Oilers.
No. You can't be mad. You got to learn this. This is a friend to a friend. A, you're allowed to get sports things right. And B, you don't have to dump it on me because I put my thumb up.
No, here's what I'm annoyed about.
It's the Calgary Flames.
Let me finish. So I said Calgary Flames. I look over at Sean and Tommy puts his thumb up, and I'm like, I don't think it was the Calgary Flames. I think it was the Edmonton Oilers. So I stopped myself. Why were you putting your thumb up?
Because I thought you were doing the Flames, the Calgary Flames, not were they in the Stanley Cup Finals?
He was out of context. I was shaking my head no, and then I realized nobody could hear me shaking my head no.
The Edmonton Oilers were playing in the Stanley Cup Final against the Florida Panthers. The fact I forgot this when I actually watched some of these games shows you how little I cared about the Stanley Cup Finals.
So that was the first one.
What was that?
The Lakers was the first one. What was the second one?
Oh, the second ownership change today is the Tampa Bay Rays are being sold to a guy who builds houses in Jacksonville.
Ooh.
And he's being sold, they're being sold for $1 billion, so a tenth of the price of the LA Lakers.
Not moving, right?
Well, The follow-up there, everybody's going to assume Jacksonville. There's a lot of people in Florida who have been covering this closely that believe Orlando is going to be the move from this owner.
Yeah, so when this guy, when I read this morning that he was buying the Tampa Bay Rays, my first thought was the same. Like, okay, he's from Jacksonville. Every article I read in Florida had no connection to the Rays moving to Jacksonville. In fact, nothing was ever mentioned about where they're going to move because they clearly need a stadium. I've heard Orlando for years now is a possibility. I have not connected the two. Is that what they're saying this builder wants to do?
It would be an odd move to go to Jacksonville only because of the fan base. You have to rebuild the entire fan base. Orlando, you might get a couple of hangovers from Tampa.
Yeah, it's not that far away.
And you 40 miles or something. You get the tourist play like Vegas has with 100%
with Disney.
Right. So but this has all been while we've been on the air that this is building steam in Florida that people have connected
the dots. So this is a done deal, though.
It's not a done deal.
It's a letter of intent. So they're in exclusive negotiations. Stu Sternberg, who bought the team about 15 years ago, is exclusively negotiating with this guy. And Stu has been known to back out of deals, apparently. So it could fall apart. But the plan you're telling me is that this guy wants to build a stadium in Orlando?
That is what the suspicions around it is. Like, the people who are covering this, who claim his connections, he's been making a lot of flights to Orlando.
Time out for a second, because the only reason we bring this up is how it impacts us, okay?
Right.
New Yorkers. The Rays are in the Yankees division, for now, that is. If they build a stadium in Orlando, think about all the times we go down to Disney World for our kids. And now you got the Yankees?
Dude, it's amazing, actually.
Yeah. It's amazing!
Yeah, I mean, the Yankees have pretty much made Tampa their home as well with those, but I understand.
No, I'm talking just Disney trips?
No, just going to a Rays game, a Yankees Rays game. It's like, you know, we can do both.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the players or the franchise. I'm talking about fans.
How much does it suck to go to Disney every day that you're down there for 3 or 4 days?
It's tough, man.
It really does.
And now you can go to a Yankee Rays game.
There it is.
But build your Disney vacations around the Yankees road
trip. And it's indoor. You're not walking around in Disney World in 105 degrees.
And Disney and baseball is not, you know, far. The Angels in Disneyland, that's a big deal, too. They're very close. But, Evan, I thought you would appreciate this nugget.
What's that?
With this letter of intent, the building suspicion is Orlando maybe where they're going to find a way to play some playoff games to kind of test the market?
Is there a baseball?
So they have a minor league stadium, but there is that Camping World stadium, the football stadium. Could they configure it for baseball playoffs to get more people in there and test the Orlando market?
I was just down there for the cheer competition. I don't think it's big enough. It's a weird layout. The way that I guess they can figure it out and move the benches because I'm sure they're portable or whatever, the stands, they can move it. But it didn't feel like a baseball stadium could or a baseball field could fit in there.
It's just very up Evan's alley. Evan's been very curious about the Rays in the playoffs.
I think that'd be a great idea. If they can make that stadium work, all of a sudden the Orlando Rays are playing playoff games down there. I think it's great for Chris Big Mac McMonagle. That poor guy has to go to Disney World every freaking year. I think twice a year. And now all of a sudden, if the Yankees are playing road games in Orlando, I could see this conversation now. Honey, let's wait for the Yankee schedule to come out. We're going to go down there when the Yankees are in town. And by the way, I'm not mocking them. I'd be doing the same damn thing. So hopefully that works out and happens.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days.
It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.